Good morning, NASCAR fans. Welcome to Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you as we look forward to a jam-packed weekend of excitement with the NASCAR All-Star Race later today. And, of course, the NASCAR All-Star Open qualifying race, which will give the chance for some drivers who aren't automatically qualified to race their way into the All-Star Race as well. So certainly looking forward to that, Brandon. But, of course, let's take a look back at last week as well. Kyle Larson winning once again, this time at the Toyota Save Mart 350 there at Sonoma on a road course. It's Larson's second straight win, his third of the season, and the fourth straight 1-2 finish for Hendrick Motorsports. Also, the first time that HMS has won four straight since 2014. And I mean, last week it was Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson all day, kind of duking it out there at Sonoma, going back and forth, different pit strategies and whatnot worked out throughout the day, but they all came back together on a few late race cautions. But it was Larson who ran away from Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr., two drivers who are very good at road course races. He beat the best, no doubt, there on Sunday in that overtime finish, as he was able to drive away from Chase Elliott, and Kyle Larson was able to win his second straight and first at Sonoma.
Yeah, no, you said it, PJ. Hendrick Motorsports right now just absolutely dominating. You know, like you said, four straight 1-2 finishes. And in the midst of that, a 1-2-3-4 finish for the first time in their history. So, I mean, right now, like I said, man, everybody else is trying to play catch-up. And, I mean, I tell you what, it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, we talked about it last week on the show, man. You know, the future of Hendrick Motorsports and how young these guys are and how good they already are, and being able to keep this core group together, and as long as they keep that good equipment, which they always have, I mean, these guys are going to be something to reckon with, not only this season, but in years to come. So, but yeah, man, what a great race there at Sonoma. You know, I always love, you know, especially that road course, just so much history there. You know, Kyle Larson there again, dominating the whole thing. I mean, I never would have thought, coming back this year, especially road courses, for Kyle Larson going, yeah, he'd have a couple wins, man. But I tell you what, he's killing it, man. And you know, we all know what Chase Elliott does on road course. He's kind of that new age Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, if you will. You know, goes out and he's going to compete for that win almost every single time that they go to a road course. So, but yeah, to see the late race cautions, man, and you know, some guys have a shot there at Larson. You know, just didn't quite pan out. I mean, I really don't think anybody really had much for him all day. I know Truex commented at the end and said he really needed a long run, and I kind of giggled at that, because honestly, I don't think even long run, short run, I don't even know if you had another whole race if you could have messed with Kyle Larson, man. I mean, that dude was just absolutely on fire. So, yeah, going to be interesting to see, man, what goes down here in the future. And, you know, like I said, like you said, Martin Truex coming home third, finally getting a good run after a couple of bad ones, you know, and especially at a place where, you know, we've seen him dominate that race. You know, winning the last two in a row and going to tie that record there with Gordon of three in a row, you know. So, gonna have to try again, man, and come back at it. But it was good to see some turnarounds for some teams that really did have some bad luck. There again, really bad for some teams. I mean, I hated it for Byron and Kevin Harvick and a few other guys that kind of got mingled up back there and tore up some pretty good race cars there towards the end of that race. But, you know, that's Sonoma. And at the end of the day, man, Kyle Larson takes checkered flag and gets to spill the wine there in the Napa Valley, man. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I don't see it changing anytime soon, man. We're just going to have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this ride with Hendrick and how long this momentum lasts with this team, how long it can go here in 2021. And I'm glad I'm not the only one who was thinking that this morning. I mean, Kyle Larson, we knew he was going to be pretty good in new Hendrick equipment and with the resources that he has. But man, at road course races, it seems like in 2021, he woke up on the right side of the bed and found something. And every single time we go to a road course race, he's in the top five or in the lead fighting for the victory. So it's interesting to see that night and day switch for Kyle Larson on road course races for sure here in 2021. It's going to be fun to see how this relationship with Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott too kind of works out if they keep finding themselves racing each other with five or six laps to go for the victory. I mean, you start to have a rivalry when things like that happen. And at the end of the day, it makes it even more interesting when that guy is someone you see all week, right, around the shop, and someone who, of course, you want to see do well, but you don't necessarily want him to beat you every single week. So it's going to be fun to watch how that relationship kind of works out. But as we're talking about Hendrick Motorsports once again and Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, I want to ask, although we might not see this ending anytime soon, is there a team or a driver that you look at outside of Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson that can end this streak that they're on, that can go up and challenge them at the end of these races? Because I think we've seen a few drivers here and there, but at the end of the day, either this is going to happen for the rest of the year, or someone else is going to come up and challenge these guys and start winning races as well. If there's anyone out there that you kind of have your eye on to do that, who is it?
Well, I tell you, it's really hard unless you go, you know, maybe one of their teammates. You know, I mean, that's the first thing that always comes to mind, just because of how dominant those guys have been too, and the consistency. I mean, if you look at William Byron, I mean, what was it, 10 straight top tens, or yeah, and or you know, almost 11, finished 11th right there behind Kyle Busch at Circuit City of America. So, I mean, the one guy I will put outside the Hendrick camp that I feel like is on the verge of kind of getting back, I'm going to say, to form that what we're used to of what he normally does, and what we've seen, you know, for the last decade, it's got to be the 18 of Kyle Busch. You know, I mean, he goes out yesterday, gets that Xfinity win, 99th Xfinity win in his career, which is just absolutely blows my mind how a guy almost has 100 wins in one series. And we all know, you know, we talk about it all the time as NASCAR fans, you know, Richard Petty all-time winningest, but 200, one series, probably race three or four races a week. I mean, there's not really any difference in what Kyle Busch is doing, other than the fact it's just not one style of car. So I think at the end of the career, I mean, you're going to look at Kyle Busch, and there's always going to be the debate, but he's definitely going to end up having more than 200 wins combined. So to me, I think that's a guy that has the talent, has the equipment. I do not quite know if that team is in the right place. I think they need to go out and get at least another win to kind of, you know, seal the deal and go, hey, man, we're here. I can run with these guys and compete. We all know from the years it's going to be a guy. It's got to be a guy coming out of JGR or coming out of the Penske camp. But I tell you what, if Hendrick Motorsports keep doing what they're doing week in and week out, I mean, I said it on Rubbin and Grubbin this past week, and I'm not going to bet the house on it or anything like that, but we could very easily see a championship four that all come from Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, all of those guys, when you look at the schedule, when we get down to the cutoff races and when we get down to the nitty-gritty right there going into Phoenix at the end of the year, the races leading up to that, these guys could easily go in and steal their deal, get a win, and next thing you know, we got four Hendrick cars in the championship, which I'm not opposed to. I mean, I know people will complain, you know, this and that, yada, yada, but at the end of the day, whether Chase Elliott wins or Larson, or whether it's Bowman or Byron, if that happens, at the end of the day, I think all those guys prove through this season that they're capable and ready to, you know, kind of take the lead at the top of the sport. But on that note, another thing that I want to say is, you know, we all forget that, you know, Chad Knaus is moved up in Hendrick in the organization. You know, he's pretty much the head of the guy, you know, engineering and the R&D and what makes the world go around, and in charge of making sure those cars are built to perform the way that they wanted to perform. So yeah, I don't know, maybe if that, I mean, it definitely can't hurt having that guy, you know, pretty much oversee all the equipment that's being built for you. I mean, you know, 7-time champion crew chief, I mean, 80 plus wins, 90 or, you know, more wins than Jimmy Johnson, 'cause he got the one with Byron, but, right. You know what I mean? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just I think we oversee the behind-the-scenes type things, and we don't really talk too much about it. We talk more about these guys' talent. They get behind the wheel and drive, but you could have the most talent in the world and be in the worst equipment and finish 30th every week. We've seen it through other people's careers. So, you know, I definitely want to make that known that, you know, I think that Chad Knaus being behind the scenes back there and taking the role that he's taken at Hendrick Motorsports has definitely propelled them into the next tier, if you would. I mean, I don't see a team out there, like I said, other than Kyle Busch, to me, that could possibly go and do it. I mean, you know, we'll argue Martin Truex and we'll argue Denny Hamlin. I mean, Truex, I think, is just not consistent enough right now. He kind of got the ball rolling this past week with that good finish. And Denny Hamlin, and Kevin Harvick. I mean, you look at what they did last season, 7 wins and 9 wins. But, you know, there again, Hamlin making that championship four, not getting a championship. And it seemed like this year started out pretty good. A lot of top five finishes right there in a row. Same thing with Harvick, but it's kind of, you know, trinkled off. So, you know, and especially with Harvick, you know, they're missing that cutoff race to make the four with 9 wins. I feel like he just kind of picked the ball up right where he left off, and they haven't got that quite back to where they need to be. But yeah, when we're talking, just if there's anybody that can go out there and challenge Hendrick, I mean, Kyle Busch to me is a name that's going to come up. But if we talk about it, we both know it's going to come out of either the Joe Gibbs camp, or it's coming out of the Penske stable. I mean, eventually somebody's got to step up to the plate. They've got to get some better equipment under them, or at least find out what these Chevy drivers at Hendrick are doing, and go from there, man. But as of right now, I mean, unless it comes out of the Hendrick Motorsports camp, man, for me, it's got to be Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I love your point on the Chad Knauss comment as well. If I had to choose, yeah, it would be Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr. I know Martin Truex Jr. hasn't been insanely consistent, but of course he has those victories, and we saw it last Sunday, man. He can go up there and can compete with these guys. He hasn't quite had the speed to go out and pass them for a win, right? But he's been right there pretty consistently with the 9 and the 5, along with Kyle Busch. So I think something has to be said for that. Martin Truex Jr. would be my other pick, if not Kyle Busch. Interesting to not have Denny Hamlin in there at all, but early in the season, I think he needed to get that victory to solidify that confidence and that momentum. But having so many slip through his fingers there early in 2021, I think really affected that team's just momentum and everything moving forward. It's been odd to see them kind of struggling over the past 5 or 6 weeks. But hey, we'll come back. We have more news to look forward to for NASCAR in 2022. We'll come back, talk about that here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you once again as we get set for another weekend action-packed full of racing, but have some news about 2021 to look forward to as well, Brandon, as it looks like NASCAR is kind of getting exactly what it wanted with this new next-gen car. Wanted to make things a little bit more affordable and a little bit more simple for these smaller and possibly new teams. And we have news this week. Justin Marks of Trackhouse Racing saying that there's a possibility Trackhouse is interested in running a second team, which they've been very impressive so far this year with Daniel Suarez. 2311 could be growing to a second team, and Colleague Racing has confirmed that they will run a full schedule next year in the Cup Series as well. I mean, this also has made Dale Jr. consider bringing Junior Motorsports up into the Cup Series, which he said he never really wanted to do in the first place, but if there was a time to do it, it would most likely be now with how affordable things will be with this next-gen car. So, man, it looks like NASCAR, the Cup Series, kind of getting exactly what they wanted with these changes here in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, the more the merrier, right, PJ? I mean, that's kind of what they want, you know, get some different people involved. And, you know, to me, this is kind of something that's been in the works for a few years. You know, once we heard the new gens coming out, and, you know, not only the cost efficiency that they're trying to create through the sport to just kind of cut the cost so some of these lower budget teams can go out and still perform and compete on a talent basis and on engineering compared to just overall, you know, surplus of the development of your parts. So it's going to be interesting to see. But not only that, with the cost efficiency that they're bringing in with the next gen, but also I feel like NASCAR has been setting this up with the logistic aspect of how they've been trying to, you know, revamp their schedule. You know, years ago it would go from Daytona to here to the West Coast, back to the East, and back down to here. And it seems like over the past few years, at least they're trying to get a few of those tracks all together. You know, you have the Phoenix and the Vegas and, you know, California, and then you come over to the East Coast and you have the Bristol and Atlanta and Miami, and at least they're all trying to put it together to save some of these teams money, not only in the aspect of what it costs to be a competitor in the sport with the cars, but also the logistics of what it takes to make the world go around by getting those cars, crew, everybody to and from each race week in and week out. So it's going to be something interesting to see. I mean, we talked about it last week with, you know, Kurt Busch maybe coming over to the 2311 team. And I tell you, in today's sport, I just, one car is not going to cut it. You just cannot get the data that you need to build your program as quickly as these other teams that have two, three, four cars. You know, you're getting twice the data or four times the data. And, you know, yeah, what you might do in a season and the leaps and bounds you make as a single car team in a season, these guys are doing every couple weeks, you know. So I think it's going to pay dividends. I mean, I would love for, you know, as you said, Junior Motorsports to move up. I think that, you know, if you go back through the history of the sport and had Dale Sr. not passed and Dale Jr. Stayed over there with that program, I think, one, not only maybe the sport would have been in a different direction, but also that I can honestly say I think that Dale Jr. probably would have had the championship, because I feel like Sr. would have put everything and the money in to be one of these big dog teams. And not only that, I mean, very good at picking talent there again. So just all-around, all-around things that NASCAR are doing right now, I feel like we are moving in a great direction. You know, we talked to a lot of older NASCAR fans, even older than us, you know, and they're like, well, the sport's just not the same. It's changed. And, you know, unfortunately, any sport you look at, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, but every sport has changed, you know, football, baseball, basketball, whether it's been rules, whether it's equipment, whether it's, you know, the way we play the game, it all evolves. So if NASCAR doesn't evolve as well, then it's only good for that one demographic of people that like to watch, you know, the older fans. So, you know, the thing that keeps sports going, obviously, we all know, are the youth movements, man. You got to have kids involved. You got to have kids' eyes on it, wanting to play it, wanting to be a race car driver or a football player or a basketball player. And I think that NASCAR has done a really good job of not only, you know, making it exciting. I mean, I feel like this season has been extremely exciting, as you touched base on, so many different winners through the start. A lot of different names that you weren't used to seeing last year that are up there in the top 15 this year, or even the top 10 at times. So I think that, you know, NASCAR as an organization is doing a great job by not only, you know, making this a better sport to watch for a fan, but also making it a safer sport for a driver, and also maybe opening up new doors for people that never would have even thought of putting their eyes on the sport of NASCAR to be able to watch and go, man, this is kind of neat. I mean, when you talk about Trackhouse, you got, you know, Pitbull, man. I mean, come on, you know, coming in like, man, I love this. This is an awesome sport, you know. So I think it's great. I think that definitely the next-gen car equals the playing field for everybody. I mean, we all know that those top-tier teams are definitely going to come out with a little bit better equipment off the bat. But it's going to take a little while for somebody to get a hold of it and go, okay, I've got it figured out. We saw that with the car tomorrow. So I just think it's going to be an equal playing field for some of these guys to come into. And if you're going to open another team, and if you're going to be a new team into NASCAR, I feel like next year is probably going to be the best it's going to be for quite some time. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. But me as a fan, I'm open to anybody, any teams, any manufacturers, to be said, man. If you want to bring it in, as long as we're playing by the same rules and NASCAR stays NASCAR, hey, man, that's all I'm worried about.
I'm with you 100% there. It's been interesting to see NASCAR make some of these changes. And one of those, like you said, is not only where they go on the schedule, but also when they go. They've done a very good job of I think, being more cost efficient with the schedule as well. I think that was a very good point. And I think moving in the direction, again, of having each one of these teams be more competitive and as competitive as they can be. They've been making changes over the past few years too, right, of the back end of the finishing order of those start and park cars, trying to make it so there's not 25 cars out there competing for some really good finishes, but 30, 35 cars really intended to go out there and race the full race every single time and not just show up to park in the garage and make a paycheck for sure. So I think NASCAR has done a very good job of that, and it's looking like that could take that next step here in 2022 and doing all the right things to try and make that happen. It's going to be fun to see no matter what you talk about these teams. I mean, Trackhouse has been very impressive, more impressive than I thought they would be this year. How much better could they get with possibly a more experienced driver taking Daniel Suarez to the next level, which I think he's done a great job this year in that 99 car. 2311, their possible changes with Kurt Busch maybe going in and helping things out. He's made every team he's been at better as well. So just the possibilities of these new teams are very exciting. But at the end of the day, it's NASCAR, right? It's a business. Some of these teams are going to come in and have great finishes and run really well in 2022 and beyond. Some of these teams, it might not work out. But hey, that's competition. That's racing. It's going to be fun to see these changes in 2022 and how it affects not only the racing on the track, but the new team showing up to the track every single week moving forward. And you mentioned Dale Earnhardt Jr. That makes me also want to mention, be sure to check out the Dale Jr. download from last week. They had Ty Norris on, who worked at DEI, and Michael Waltrip Racing. They get into exactly what kind of you pointed on there. What would DEI be like if Dale Earnhardt didn't pass away? What happened after that? Definitely want to recommend that to any of the fans out there. But we'll come back, have an exciting day of racing planned for the NASCAR All-Star Race. We'll go over all that here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. And also be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock there at Coach's Corner with our guy Brandon Bain. He'll catch you up on all the latest NASCAR news, get you set for the NASCAR weekend every single weekend. And of course, you can grab a fresh bite to eat there at Coach's Corner and have some great entertainment, some great drinks there as well, as Brandon gets you caught up on all the latest NASCAR news every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock there at Coach's Corner. If you can't make it, be sure to check it out on the Coach's Corner Facebook live feed every Wednesday night at 6. But Brandon, we're getting set for the NASCAR All-Star Race later today. 6 different segments, 4 different 15-lap segments, a 30-lap segment, and the last segment, only 10 laps, a dash to the finish there to see who wins that $1 million. And it's from Texas Motor Speedway this year as it changes once again from Bristol to Texas. Of course, Texas provides a ton of excitement. It should be a fun race to watch later tonight.
Man, I tell you what, you know, the All-Star race is always a great race. I mean, the point is, it's not a point-paying race. So these guys have nothing to lose. You know, they're going to bring a car probably designed specifically just for this one race. I did read an article. I know that they are bringing a 510 horse package instead of the normal 550. They run a mile and a half. So we're going to have to see how that affects some of these teams, the Kyle Larsons and different guys. And, you know, as much as we say he's been dominating, man, I tell you what, Texas is not one of his better racetracks through his career. But he surprised us all season with showing up to those same racetracks and going out and competing for wins. So, but I tell you what, I think tonight or today, this evening, when you watch this race, if you watched any of the Xfinity race yesterday, you saw how treacherous Texas can be. Very fast speed, very much on the edge of the car the whole time. We saw how many guys yesterday, 4 or 5 different guys lose control, you know, and spin out or have an accident. And I think not only with that, with bringing that lower horse package and how important it is to keep these cars wound up and those RPMs up, you know, passing is going to be huge. If a guy blocks you one time and kind of stalls that momentum you have, you're going to probably lose 3 or 4 spots just because you have to get that momentum back. So it's going to be interesting to see. And like you said, so many different stages, so many different lap totals, fields being inverted, all to come down to 10 laps for a cool, cold $1 million, man. It's going to be exciting. So, you know, another point is I really feel like, man, we got to do something with this All-Star race. I mean, I'm not complaining about anywhere it goes. I loved it being at Charlotte for so many years just from the aspect of, you know, those teams are there from Coca-Cola 600 to the All-Star race. Those guys are able to sleep in their own bed for a couple weeks, see family that might stay around there. You know, it keeps them in that central location or right there in North Carolina where we know most of these teams are based out of and these drivers live. So I love that aspect. Last year, absolutely loved Bristol. I mean, if you ask me personally, if you were going to do an All-Star race, I think Bristol was the perfect place to do it. I mean, that is such a neat racetrack. It is competitive. There's action all the way around the course. There are accidents. And it comes down to people using the bumper all the time there to get that win. So we're going to have to see how Texas plays out today. Like I said, I think that it's going to be very interesting, man. You know, you're going to have there again some of the normal players, man. But if you're looking at, you know, asking me who I go out and who I'm looking for today, I mean, at the end of the day, we all know you cannot go and say anybody else being on top other than Kyle Larson right now. I mean, this dude is absolutely on fire. Going back to another mile and a half, career-wise, statistically, average isn't that good there, but we're not talking a full 500-mile race or 400-mile race. We're talking, you know, 60 laps or whatever it equals out to. 100 laps, I think, is what it is. So, I mean, in a 100-lap race, 150 miles, I mean, just for $1 million, you know that these guys are going to go out and do everything they can to bring that home. Another guy that's going to be on my list is Kyle Busch. I got to put him, too. I mean, he's had so much success throughout his career there at Texas. Like I said, the dude, I feel like, is on the verge of breaking back loose and kind of falling back into that old form we're used to seeing Kyle be. So we'll have to go there later on tonight, see if Candyman can deliver some M&Ms to us or Skittles as well, man. But, third place, as I say all the time, I can never hardly ever leave my guy out, man. Chase Elliott's got to go out there. Going to have a good run. Won that last year all-star race there at Bristol. Took home that $1 million to go ahead and match with his dad. $1 million bill. And on top of that, now you got $1 million Chase as well, man. So pretty neat that two guys from the same family, father, son, duo, both won the $1 million. A couple different ways. They did it in different ways. But still a pretty neat little thing there, man. Four for me. A guy that we mentioned earlier, and I talked, and we talked about it, and started out the season very consistent. Hadn't quite got that win yet. I feel like that they need to propel that team and get the mojo back over there. But I got to put Denny Hamlin in the top five today. Anytime we go out and we talk about Texas there again, he's had some good runs there. And there again, all-star race, man. They're going to bring some good stuff. Five, we'll go ahead and round it out, man. Another guy that we talked about that has been absolutely disappeared, hadn't been able to find him all season very much, man, and that's Kevin Harvick. When you talk about a guy, especially at Texas, that has gone out and just dominated, Kevin Harvick's done it for the past few years there at Texas Motor Speedway, man. And I feel like if they're going to get it rolling, if they're going to get some momentum back over there, at least in that four camp, Stuart Haas as a whole, I think, has a long way to go. But at least back over there in that four camp, I definitely think it's going to be today here at Texas. And dark horse to me today, man, I got to give a big shout-out to somebody very near and dear to me. They lost somebody very special to them today some years ago, and they were an absolute huge Mark Martin fan. So we're going to go ahead and take the dark horse tonight, being Ryan Newman in that sixth, man. I really hope that guy does his thing, makes a really good run, has a really good finish, maybe even go out there and win the thing. I wouldn't be upset at all just for the simple fact of, personal meaning to me and people close to me. But I tell you what, man, super stoked about this all-star race. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out at Texas. These guys always put on a big show anytime that the NASCAR circuit shows up there at Texas. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do tonight. But from touch base on something I was mentioning earlier, I really feel like at the end of the season, the point season, I feel the same way about the 10 races in the chase. It should be five staples, five in a lottery draw every 3 years or whatever. Same type thing, I think, for the all-star race, man. Let's spice it up at the award ceremony. Let's put some tracks into a bag, man, roll them around, reach in there and draw one and say, hey, 2022 all-star race is going to be held at Miami Motor Speedway or whatever. It gives that track, a little bit there again, more eyes on it, more fans showing up, a little something different than what they're used to seeing instead of that full race, going and seeing guys just compete for cash. It'll be interesting, but that's my thoughts on it, man. But I tell you what, thanks so much, PJ. Always a pleasure, brother. And I am so ready for this all-star race here later on this evening.
Man, it's going to be interesting. I think that's a great idea, by the way, for choosing the next all-star race and all-star races moving forward. I think NASCAR moving forward should be more creative with how they choose the all-star race and how they go about the all-star race format and everything like that. And I think your idea there hit the nail on the head. That could be really fun to watch. Switching tracks like this, I think, is fantastic just to give everyone a new location and give fresh entertainment to the fans. And after seeing it this year, man, why not a dirt race, right? Why not go back to Bristol for the dirt track there during the All-Star race? That could be fun to watch. Just spicing things up for the fans, I don't think is ever a bad thing, especially in an All-Star race where there's no points awarded or anything like that. It's purely for fun and entertainment value. That could be very fun to see moving forward, how creative they can get. But not taking anything away from Texas, I think this race is going to be really fun to watch, and these guys are certainly going to get after it and kind of go no holds barred. I am very interested to see how they race with this horsepower package, as well as you mentioned, and just how everyone tries to get out of there in one piece. It's going to be fun to see, without a doubt. But for my five guys, I'm going to go with Chase Elliott, number one. Just kind of Kyle Larson's history there at Texas has me putting him down the list a little bit. Chase Elliott, always good at mile and a half tracks and always good at Texas. Give me him number one. Kyle Busch, number two. Four wins there at Texas and has always been extremely good. And like you said, I think he's on the cusp of gaining more and more momentum throughout the rest of the season. Kyle Larson at number three. Still got a bad fast car, right? And we'll start out on the pole position. Watch him tonight. Denny Hamlin, always very good at Texas. It's funny, me and you both put him up there, even though he's struggling there and has been off and on here in 2021. But give me Denny Hamlin at Texas with his three wins there in the past. And Joey Logano, if someone's going to go up and challenge any of these guys from JGR or HMS, it might be that Penske speed. And Joey Logano, very good at Texas. So look out for him tonight. He's also certainly not shy about making an aggressive move to go out there and get a win. For my underdog, my dark horse, I want to say our thoughts and prayers certainly go out to your friend there, and we certainly are hoping the best for the family and hoping the best for Ryan Newman tonight with them in mind, as my grandfather, huge Mark Martin fan, so certainly understand that. I'm going to go with Eric Jones, though. Great average finish there at Texas in the 20 car, and we've seen he can get it done in the 43 on certain tracks that he's very good at. So give me Eric Jones as my dark horse. But without a doubt, check out the NASCAR All-Star Race later tonight from Texas. It all starts with the NASCAR Open qualifying race, which sometimes can be even more exciting and nail-biting than the All-Star Race itself. Don't miss that, 6 o'clock tonight on FS1. But for Brandon Bain, I am PJ Zucco, hoping you have a fantastic rest of your race day and weekend. Stay safe wherever you go, and God bless.